Greetings, and welcome to Yes, a Stripper Podcast.
This is our podcast, all of ours.
A podcast for all sex workers.
In this podcast, we will discuss the ins and outs, ups and downs of our lives and experiences as sex workers. I am your host, Daisy Ducati.
I am your Hopra, Gigi Holiday.
I'm your stripper queen from the north, Onyx. And this is Yes, a Stripper Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Yes, the Stripper Podcast. I'm your queen of the north, stripper queen of the north, let me rephrase that, Onyx. And it is my first episode of 2024 after a long hiatus. So excited to be back. Oh, let me tell you, though, I got some exciting more ideas because I'm actually stripping full time again. So a lot of things are coming at me at once in the moment. So everything is fresh. So I got a lot of questions and things to talk about. Today, you're getting the grubby look of me right now. I just finished driving 18 hours with a fever, feeling somewhat better today, but the burnout after a long tour of work is real. And what better person to talk about a work burnout and fresh topic ideas than the one and only Jordan Kensley. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to apologize in advance because I have a kitten who's like dad just left and he's just screaming at the front door now. So I'm sorry.
Dad! Why?
It's like I'm chopped liver, which is rude because I'm the feeder, but that's fine.
That is rude though, but I get that. I don't understand why cats seem to love our partners more than they love us. I'm like, I'm the one that got you first for 10 years.
Yeah. Are you done? Yeah. Too funny.
Yeah. Cat daddies are real.
Did you make a lot of money on your trip though?
Yeah, it was really good. It's just 50 shows in 2 weeks is a lot.
Your body, how are you doing that?
I like the paycheck. The paycheck for a week is like $1,500, so I'll take it.
I feel that. I feel that really deep in my soul.
But yes, just to remind everyone, what are your pronouns again?
She, her.
Okay, perfect.
I don't respond to anything, to be honest, because gender's a construct, but she, her, right? For everybody.
Gender's fake, low-key. Awesome. Well, you have got to be one of the funniest people I have met because we met in November last year for the Script Down event, and you had me basically rolling around laughing on the floor with your valid points. It's not just like all comic relief. There's like some political humor in there and like whatever topics we're talking about. You're just like, bam! And I'm like, ah, it's so good. Yeah. How did you become this animated direct person that you are? Like, who is this?
So many things. One, I think it's if I feel comfortable around you, then I'm going to just immediately turn into that. And we've all felt it, right? When there's, I'm going to walk into this group and I'm just going to be me. And then it's instant silence. And you're like, cool, awkward. This is fine. I'll just. Yeah, you know. And so I feel like as soon as I met you and like, was like, are we the same brain type? And you're like, yes, we are the same brain type. It was like instant demasking, basically. And I didn't have to worry about whether or not like, am I going to be seen as this insane person? Because my ADHD just goes off sometime. And then also like growing up, I feel like I lived through some weird shit in like a really rural white town America. So my sense of humor is dark and as my parents and partner call it, very wicked. So it's not necessarily like bitchy or anything, but it's definitely like, that's honest. That's really honest. I can't help it. I don't know. It's just, that's just me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, because if you were chill, then I wouldn't be chill. Very much like I'll give back what people are putting out. So if I'm not like super fun and outgoing, it's probably because you made me feel weird or because I don't trust you.
Fair. Oh my goodness. Tell us about that rural town neighborhood that you grew up in that made you the way you are, that wicked.
Oh, it's just
my trauma's funny kind of deal.
So my dad's Lebanese and my mom is Sicilian white, you know, and I would be like one of a handful of Arab families. And then on top of that, like my dad is a really good businessman, but not necessarily the greatest human. And now that he's older, he's calmed the fuck down, which is great, but he's actually like a medically diagnosed narcissist. And so a lot of like, my brain had to, like, thank God I have ADHD, to be honest, because my brain had to figure out how to respond, like, really quick against whatever my dad was saying to me or my sister, like, from a young age. Like, I remember so many fucked up stories. Let's try to find a fun one. Oh, this is hard. Okay. So would respond with, oh, well, why aren't you eating all your food? You know, there are starving kids out there in the world. And then we'd be like, well, we can mail, like we should mail them our leftovers. Like that's like, we had to learn how to respond to like diffuse the situation, but also stand up for ourselves and be right. Like, go fuck yourself. It's really weird to have a parent who, like competes with you. And you're just like, I just want love. And they're like, yeah, but you're funnier than me. And I don't like that. So a lot of it. And then growing up and recognizing, like doing all my personal work with unlearning misogyny and unlearning like racism and just recognizing the different aspects of how that plays into all the different systems that I'm part of. Like you look back on shit and you're like, oh, actually, maybe it wasn't just that I was the weird kid, but also that I was a brown kid. Like, oh, maybe actually it was awful. And so like being able to recognize that as an adult on top of everything definitely starts to make sense on why I'm like super direct. And I find my energy more masculine than feminine personally. Especially if you meet us, like I'm definitely not like someone who's just going to sit down and be nice for the sake of being nice. Like if I see any kind of nonsense, I'm going to say something, you know, I can't not, because why? There's no reason for that. You know,
I like that. Yeah.
Thanks. I don't know if that answers your question. I have a tendency.
No,
I have ADHD, you guys.
I'm hoping for a lot of tangents today. Anyways. Yes. Oh my goodness. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Actually, I just came across Natalia Nightshade's post, and she's talking about how people feel like the need that we need to evolve from sexy pole dancing, and gross. Basically, what? And she went off. I loved it. And I'm just wondering what your idea of that journey looks like. The spectrum of eroticism with pole, especially the sexy style of pole, what your journey looks like to you and all that jazz.
Yeah, I saw that post too. It's really interesting because I do feel like from a femme perspective, or like taking back your own autonomy kind of thought process, like there's a reason we're all drawn to pole dancing as like an art form outside of the club. And it's because, or even in the club, to be honest, I learned all of this when I was a stripper way more than I learned it from pole dancing. But like, oh, I'm actually worth something no matter what. It's just about finding the audience that's going to pay for me. If like that's the thought process that we've been like just shoved down our throats from a young age onward, like I have to have value in order to be valuable. And so when you start pole, all of a sudden that thought process changes to like, actually, this is what my body's capable of, instead of this is what my body's worth because of how it looks. And I think, and then same with stripping, like the power that I got from, and the confidence that I got from being able to tell like a man to shut the fuck up and pay me, you know, like it's really enjoyable when you hit that power stage. And so it's interesting that there are people who would want to take that from you, because the way that for me it went is like, I went real hard into aggressive, or what I would consider like, again, more masculine energy types. I just feel more powerful in that realm, and it kept me safe in the clubs. And so for me, it was very much like, this is what I'm portraying, and it's masculine and it's powerful and it's still sexy, but it's not soft and sensual. And so now that I've reclaimed my power, so to speak,
I'm going to go into like, oh, my soft sensual phase. And I'm just kind of like more feminine and like flowy. And if you can see the, at least I can see the changes in my Instagram on what I'm posting, and things that I'm more attracted to tend to be more like flow styles today. And so it's interesting for these other women, or even just people in general, to say like, how dare we sexualize ourselves when we should be valued for something else. Like, pole literally teaches you the value of what you're capable of instead of the value of what you look like. And I feel like specifically talking about that conversation and the things that have been brought up, I don't really know who started it, but Vitalia's spot on with her thought process too. Mm-hmm. Like, what is, like, one, why are we all of a sudden not allowed to reclaim our sexuality when we're constantly sexualized elsewhere? Like, what is so wrong with that, that you would want to force people to reconsider? But also, what does it matter if I'm more personally attracted to a harder style or trick heavy style versus like this centralized like self-love version versus like contemporary? Like, I don't understand. Like, am I supposed to go into ballet now? Like, it doesn't make sense to restrict people's capabilities of however they're feeling, let alone like however they want to exude that through their own body language. Like, it's such an awkward thing. And so currently, for going back to my personal journey, I feel like I started really hard. I'm kind of in my soft sensual phase, but then I think about performances and I'm like, no, I'm still gonna like take a shot, spit it into someone's mouth, and then slap them. Like, that's still my jam, you know? So, so I like to pretend that I'm in my soft sensual. But the reality is, maybe it's just like my freestyles are being soft sensual, but my performance will still be like aggressive, aggressive. It is interesting, though. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a weird, I don't know if it's weird, it's just something I've noticed, like a hyper feminization within pole, to the point where like even more masculine body types are starting to portray more effeminate characteristics, which isn't wrong, to be fair. Like, I love, gender's a construct, as we've already decided. So
low-key fake.
Give a shit how you move your body to express whatever you want. But it's interesting that there's so much hyper-feminization within this industry to then have so much like misogyny and internalized misogyny still part of it. It doesn't make sense, and almost feels like a lot of people aren't like having these conversations with themselves. They're just feeling something, or they hear something one time and now they're regurgitating it instead of like actually thinking about, well, why am I doing this for myself, or why do I believe this, and is it something that I actually believe, or is it just something that I'm like regurgitating? I don't know. Thoughts?
I wonder why people aren't talking about it as much as they should be, other than, are they afraid of what society deems, and then they're going to get whatever backlash from whatever they discuss their side or view, and they just, which is unfair, because I wish if they're going to portray that feminine side, I wish they would just own it and show others that it's possible to just be you, do you, and fuck the patriarchy. We don't need to have that misogyny in our lives.
Amen. It just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, I'm here for embodying all aspects of humanity, like both the masculine and feminine, and all, like, which, again, gender is a construct, so those don't even exist. But like, I want to be able to be all of it and not just forced into some box so that I have value to people I don't give a shit about. You know, like, it doesn't make sense to me. But that goes, I think, back to our first question, where I've been fighting for my right to exist how I am since I was a child.
Right. Yeah. We're definitely not box shaped.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, man. I'm seeing a lot of stripper clothes advertised and worn as regular going out outfits.
Isn't that crazy? What is that? I don't. It's just got to be LA and New York, right? Because I would never wear something like that here in Tucson. Like, just never. I would get shot. Like, someone would be like, hey, bitch, what's up? And I'd be like, shove it in your mouth. And then I'd get shot. Like, there's no, who's wearing them? Where are they going? That's what I want to know. Because it's crazy, right?
It's crazy. And what's even more crazy is that we're still hated on. Like, why is this whorephobia still alive and well? It's not just, and it's not just with regular civilians. It's even some strippers and OnlyFans content creators who are super against full service sex work. It's like, oh, we're going to be selective to a few things and still say we're feminist strong, but no to that.
Right? It's like the bodily autonomy. It's so crazy, right? Like, I feel this so deep. There's so many layers to this. Yes. First of all, if you're wearing these outfits, where? And do you feel safe? Like, that's what I really want to know. Like, you're going out into a public environment, like at least in a club environment or even like a pole studio environment. Like, I know that I'm safe in this environment because this is what I'm meant to be wearing in this environment. But if I'm like going to Chipotle, why are you, are you okay? Like, I just want you to be safe. And it doesn't feel like the safest thing outside of LA and New York, where you just be and wear whoever the fuck you want in otherwise a very terrifying country. But yeah, the whorephobia is real. As a side note, as of this morning for me, Instagram has updated their community guidelines to include sexually suggestive material instead of just explicit material.
Interesting.
So that's fun. Although it is starting to finally affect like B-list and A-list celebrities, which I'm really like, finally, you know, but they're all shocked that it's happening. Like, I don't remember what celebrity it was. That one person. But she's literally like been posting stories like, how dare I be shadow banned? I'm like losing so many millions of views and blah, 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 blah. And it's because she's posting political content. But it's also like, but then she goes like, here are boobs. Is this what you want to see? And it's like, girl, no. Like, obviously you have not been paying attention to anything because that is not the thing that they want to see either. Like, if you're all getting fucked for this shit, your titties are sexually suggestive and I'm offended. What about the children that I don't have? What if they see this? It is weird. Like, I don't understand. It goes back to having conversations with yourself, you know, like if you're not thinking about your actions and what they're saying versus like the internalized beliefs that you have and how, like, are these matching or are they not? Like, it doesn't, I feel like it's hard. It is, it's difficult to put a mirror up to yourself, but it's definitely like, you can see when people aren't doing it because they'll be like, oh, I'm an ally for sure, but not for that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, either you believe in that or you don't. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. But just like, take one more step, just like one more little inch, just like,
Without the unnecessarily being shot on would be great too. It's not needed.
But yeah, it's really interesting too, because I don't think that a majority of people who do this are coming from like a negative place. They just don't have the tools to really express what they're trying to say without putting other women down or other people down. Like, it's like they haven't learned that I can just really like my green background and I can just stop the sentence at that instead of being like, oh, I love my green background. It's like, oh my God, like yours is so different with like the doors, but isn't this amazing? Like, what's with the comparison? Why does that need to happen? Why can't we both just have backgrounds? Like,
gotta do a personal dig somewhere.
Right? Gotta throw that in there because I'm not like other women. It's weird. It is weird when you find it in sex work, because why? Like, we're all here because we kind of have to be, like, whether it's for my ADHD and like the lack of being able to do a 9-to-5, and also like because I can't keep my fucking mouth shut, like, that's why I'm here, you know. You had a good question actually about I forget how you worded it, but it had to do with like the privilege of like pole dancers coming into a club environment to work thinking that it's just going to be the easiest thing ever.
It's going to be like the high life. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. Don't forget about those slow nights and slow seasons. Like right now.
Right? Well, that, not only that, but like the privilege that, and I definitely had privilege as well when I was like stripping. Like I was in college, I had a stipend and I was lucky enough to not have negative connotations against strippers or sex workers in general. I just don't like men, you know, like I've always hated men. Side note, I don't actually hate men. I just don't like the aspects of systematic like structures that promote them in a way that they don't necessarily deserve in that. Sorry. But yeah, so I just didn't like men. And that's the whole reason I would never want to be a stripper, because there's a lot of them there. But in college, I ended up starting there because I wanted to learn pole dancing. There were no studios in the area. And for me, it was like the women were the best fucking part. And like just getting to like fuck around and also just recognizing that like, oh, I actually can just exist and you're welcome. This is amazing. Thank you for coming. Like it was such a night and day difference between how I grew up and like forced sexualization versus like, well, this isn't my court now. And there is like a privilege when you don't feel like you have to be saying yes to things in order to survive. And that's where I feel like, especially nowadays, post 2020 baby pole dancers, they don't understand that, because the reality is we're all just trying to survive and it's different. And the entertainment industry makes our jobs look great and awesome and super fun and really lucrative. But the reality is like, it's not necessarily in the same way that any sales job is not necessarily the easiest thing to do throughout the year. Not only that, but also you're getting a different customer every time you approach a table and you have no idea who you're going to talk to, and you have what, 30 seconds to 2 minutes to figure out if they're going to pay you. Like those are also skills that I don't think pole dancers really consciously recognize that they need to have in order to go into a stripping, like any kind of a sex work environment, because it's really sales more than anything else. And to think that you're just going to be able to find like a stage club when the majority are hustle clubs, and you're just going to be able to throw tricks all the time and be like, rained on. Like they do exist. I was lucky enough to work at one with AM actually, but like it's definitely few and far between. And also you still don't have the skills to pull off some of these tricks. So you don't know what you're doing here. Do a different hustle.
Yeah. I mean, it does. There is like a big difference between strippers who were born into it, and then you got your people that took pole dances to become a stripper. So it's just like, oh, are you ready? Okay, hang tight.
I love money. I'm never going to want to stop people from getting money, just in case anybody was worried about that. Like, get your money however you need to in whatever way works for you, but definitely still recognize that, like, just because you don't have to necessarily do extras doesn't, like, that's a privilege that you're able to make that choice, if that makes sense. And so... Yes. It's also like, oh, I'm choosing I'm choosing my mental health or my safety or what have you over this money. And that's exactly what you have to remember, is like, not everybody has the financial benefits of being able to make that choice in general. And so like finding hierarchies in sex work is so weird, because like, that's all you're judging is like how someone is capable of making money because they need to survive. Cool.
I like that, hierarchies.
You know?
Oh, man. How do you think extras in the club, just because since I've been working a lot, I've seen there's been an issue with, it's been a lot of extras in the club. A lot of club management just been turning their blind eye to it, and us strippers either have to work around it or be involved with the extras or get into a fight with the strippers. But right. I mean, I guess my question would be like, how would you set your boundaries if that's your choice, whether to do extras or not? How do you set your boundaries when you're going in for your dances?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm very lucky in terms of my persona doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me. I used to make a joke that like I scare the money out of people. And so a lot of times, because I was working in LA or like once or twice in New York, and then like a handful of times in Vegas, I was going to big cities where there
is a clientele that's willing to pay for that. And that's what they're looking for, is that like,
shut the fuck up,
you know, kind of attitude. And so for me, I built it into my dances. And I also teach this as like, hey, this is one of the ways that you can stay safe. Pole dancers who are taking a lap dance workshop, and then we're going to discuss the three different versions of lap dance, because you're not going to do the same shit for your partner that you do in a club. LOL, LOL, what's that? And then on stage, like, I'd go over all those options, but I start the same way every time because it sets a standard, and it's, for me, it's kept me safe. And there's, you also have to be really ready. Like, there's like a quick reflex that you have to start like getting immediately, because there's body cues that you could, like, I feel like older strippers can pick up on instantly, where I'm like, I'm going to grab your hand because I know that it's moving somewhere and it's not supposed to be, you know, like, or, oh my gosh, you one more chance, and then like kick him in the, you know, like whatever. But what I'll do is I take the edge of my heel and I jam it straight into like right underneath their collarbone. And then I lean forward and I tell them the rules of engagement that I'm comfortable with. And then I make them make sure that they tell me that they understand.
And some of which people would like. Some of these men like that shit. So they're like, yes, Kawada.
For me, that's my clientele, is like really rich men who just want someone to yell at them. Mm. Not a problem. I have a lot of angst against you. Let's do it. Or like younger hipsters who still have like mommy issues that they haven't worked through. And then like, that's my favorite side hustle for everybody. If you ever see, it's always a child, not an action child. It's always a young man who's in the club because he just turned 21, but he's always alone. So he's on his phone watching Instagram and there's titties on stage. Are you kidding me? So I'll walk right up behind him and like, watch what he's watching for at least 30 seconds. And then I'll be like, are you on Instagram when there are free tits out and you aren't paying attention and you're not tipping? I'm personally offended and you owe me a lap dance right now. And it works every time. Well, not every time, but you know, it works a majority of the time because they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, mom. You don't know. So for me, that's what like my persona and the audience that I'm naturally drawn to has kept me safe, because that's what they're interested in, is like a very powerful person. I definitely have a lot of friends that are soft and like fawning and just like they have the Lolita character like down pat, whether that's because that's their character for the club or like that's just who they are as a human being. And I am honestly terrified for them every time they give a lap dance because they are so soft. But I think that's also like, you have to learn because it's up to you. No one's there to protect you. Exactly like you said, it's not like the managers are doing anything, and it's definitely not like security's doing jack shit except counting the money that they're going to take from you. Like DJ's not doing anything. You're lucky if he's even getting you on stage, you know? So you really have to be your own advocate. And if you're not prepared to do that, then I would urge you to find something else that doesn't require the same level of boundary setting as
Definitely.
And then in terms of customers, I'll usually just say something like, oh, you got the wrong girl. I'm not open for that kind of business. But do you want to dance? And I'll try to revert. But if they like push one or two too many times, that I'll just walk away. I don't like, you can't be spending enough money for me. And again, because I have the privilege of saying no, I'm going to, you know, unless it's a doubles dance. I really enjoy doubles dancings. But again, persona, I'm usually like, this is my hot friend Onyx. Don't you want to see her grind up real hard on me? Like, I want her to give me a lap dance and I want you to watch from over there. Yeah. No, that'll be 200 for each of us plus tips when we're done, because you know it's going to be hot. You know, like, I'm up for doubles, but I usually try to find a way to keep the customer out of that entirely. I can't help it. It's really fun.
Yeah, I find that so amazing too, because I've been in this industry for a really long time, and then looking back at the customers that I used to dance for to the customers that I dance for now, it's like, wow, I've really matured into knowing where the money's at, knowing how to get the money, and the demographic group that I like to work with. Because for me, it's definitely the ones that like to be financially dominated, the ones that like to be hurt and yelled at, just like you said.
Yes.
And old men, like, where are the old men at?
Yeah, I envy your old man capabilities.
Like, I love them.
In me. I can't laugh at their dumb jokes. I'm like, you know, I'm smarter than you, right? Like, I can't even pretend. They're like, here are two ball hairs. And I'm like, I could murder you. You don't care? Okay, oldster. Like, I envy that. Because there's a lot of money in those retire. What else are they doing? Mm-hmm. Just me, you know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's a great, great audience to pick up on. I'm envious of that skill set.
Where are you touring these days anyways? Where are your shows at? Workshops? What are you up to?
Yeah, so I'm currently based in Tucson, Arizona, post-COVID. We got kicked out by our landlord during the lockdown.
Oh, geez.
Good times. But I was, like, lucky enough to have, like, a landing base here in Tucson. I actually just bought the house that I'm in.
Yay! Yeah. Lovely.
Super exciting. It's a studio. Look at me go. Oh, man. Stare at that line I created. So right now I'm nesting real hard, but I am going in tour this summer, and I'm doing like a huge road trip tour, and I'm taking like my vintage RV with my cats and my partner, and we're gonna hit Oklahoma City at House of Pole, and then we're hitting Texas in a few different places. I think Rex Dance and Inner Diva in Austin. I'm performing at Punchline also in Austin. There are a few studios that I'm in negotiations with that are like dream studios for me to teach at. So I'm just going to put it out there that it's happening, but I'm not going to say any names because it never happens if I say the names, but maybe this other studio. And then I'll going through the Midwest, or like kind of the Bible Belt, but the north version of the northern section of the belt, Tennessee, Arkansas, Virginia, West Virginia, maybe North Carolina, hoping to hit Asheville, and then all the way up to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ooh. And my birthday, and then hopefully New Jersey, maybe like stop in New York if I can say hi to people for timing, and then we're hitting PoleCon. And then from PoleCon, I have to go see my family because I drove all the way here. So I'll be going to Ohio. Please, any studios in Ohio and Michigan, hit me up for June, anytime in June. I'll teach anything you have. Anything for my family for like 3 to 6 hours. Because I'll be there for a week. And then my partner's cousin is getting married. So we are actually going to spend like 2 weeks with his family as well. And then we're driving back down through the upper Midwest back to Arizona. So I'll be back in August. I'm just missing the summer months for this.
Oh, that sounds crazy. Oh, my goodness.
A lot when you say it out loud.
Yeah.
It's like 3 months of touring. And it's in a van, which I don't think many people do. I'm excited to offer it because I don't know. I'm sure you also get like some type of hotel or place to stay when you're traveling and people book you for things. Like, you're like, yeah, you're going to have to, you're either putting me up or you're paying for my hotel or travel or some type of situation. And I've traveled enough at this point that post COVID, I feel like it's a lot harder for people to host in their homes because we've all had to downsize or we've all lost whatever we were doing, or now we have to have roommates. Like, there's so many people that did have two rooms that I was staying with that I've reached out post 2020 that have had to drop down to like a studio apartment, just like myself. And like, yeah, you can come, but I have literally no place for you to stay other than the floor. Anyway.
Oh, shoot. I'm
just hoping that this can be like a different option so that I can take a little bit off of the studio's like requirements. Like, I just need a place to park. And that's like the end of the things that you have to do to host me. So I'm just trying to find ways, like different ways to balance like the cost of having touring artists in general come to your studio, because it is like, it's still a great option. And there's so many more artists than there ever were before that you can choose from. But the standard pre-COVID and the standard post-COVID, I think, should be different. We should be making similarly amounts of money for gigs, for shows, for workshops, what have you. But then with that being said,
yeah,
we should also be trying to cost correct, because studios are still,
And well, shows I have less fucks for. If you can't afford to do a show, then you shouldn't be doing a show. But that's just me. Right? What are you on that? Like, what are your thoughts on, like, bare minimum, I'm doing one performance at, like, a local event. What would you recommend the, like, bare minimum standard be for taking an event?
For pay?
Yeah, for pay.
I think $400 to $500 a show.
Thank you.
I'm like, I was like scared to say that. That's trauma right there. I was like,
Well, if you're a professional, you should be paid as such. I agree with that statement. And then for babies, I would say minimum $250. Mm-hmm. We're still offering a specialty sport or a specialty art form or a specialty performance. Like, our insurance alone is higher than
that. Exactly. We're risking our lives up there.
Right? So you should be paying me. And if you're a clearly I've been wanting to soapbox about this for a while. But like, if you're getting paid for an event and that event can't afford more than $100 per performer, they're exploiting you. They could not get a person at our level because our prices are set. And so now they're going towards students who don't understand and are just happy to perform. But I'm going to tell you right now, keep the happiness and ask for money. And if they can't pay you, then they are disrespecting the industry that you love so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm over us taking $50 jobs, $100 jobs, when the reality is like we have a management hat, an agency hat, a transportation hat, a makeup and costume department, me as the singular performer, me as the director, me as the choreographer, me as like, oh, am I bringing equipment or not? Mm-hmm. Like, that's at least, I can't count, eight half. Did you see my brain just like stop? Like, the first. But that's at least eight different jobs that you should be incorporating at the very least minimum wage per hour on top of each other. And it's really frustrating to find so few artists that are also treating this like a business, because it is a business. It's your business. It's my business. And if you're doing it, it's also your business. People listening, like, treat it like one. Be successful. Do it. Take it. And if they're asking, it doesn't matter what your skill level is. They've asked you. You're worth money. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, fun facts for everybody.
Oh, man. Well, our job demands, like, so much from us. It's emotionally draining, physically draining.
Right.
I don't really feel the burnout yet. I am taking time off. I'm supposed to work this week, but I'm taking time off till Wednesday. But yeah, how do you recover from burnouts? Like, we work ourselves almost at like both ends. sometimes like just getting right back at her, like the 2-day breaks, it's not enough, but we're still alive. I guess it's autopilot, but I mean, how do you do it?
So different depending on pre-COVID, I feel like I had it solid. Like we also had access to a lot of acupuncture places, massage, like different types of myofascial work. We have Korean spas, which are like the fucking best. If you've never been, you should go. Love a Korean spa moment, but like, I was lucky pre-COVID to live in a place that had a 24-hour Korean spa. So I would
do hot, 24 hours.
Like, I know, right? Hot, cold. Like, oh, did I just finish at the club and it's 3 a.m.? Let's go to this spa. And then hot tub, drop over the cold tub, do that for 4 hours, and then sleep until like 4 p.m. Like, when I was dancing daily and then also teaching and like had a muggle job and performing at the club and also like doing performances for whatever show I was in, like I don't know how you go so many days, like 4 days in a row with just full force, like full force effort, full force flexibility, full force strength. And there's a ton of adrenaline. So I definitely, when I go on tour, I have to take like adrenal supplements with me, or it'll be like 3 weeks of touring and then I drop out. It's a lot. I get a lot of energy from performing and from teaching. I really enjoy these types of connections with people. and the energy in between whatever the version of the audience is versus whatever the version of me that's showing up, whether it's teacher me and student audience or stripper me, performer me, and like actual audience. Like, I really get off on those energy exchanges, but I'm still an introvert at my core. And so as soon as I get home, I don't go out. If you live in Tucson, that's why you don't see me anywhere. Like, because I come home and I just avoid people and I avoid everyone and I take really long showers. I do as many like body things. I do definitely 2 days off at least. Like if I'm on a long tour as well, like what you just did, at least one hotel night just for me alone to sit and get room service and do nothing else and talk to no one, at least in like once every continent, you know, like it's just, it's, it gets too much. It's exhausting. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I answered your question. I don't
know. Yeah. No, I mean, I think definitely a day to myself is always good. Cause yeah, I don't think I could talk to people right now after like a 3 week tour. Actually, it's been a while. It's been more than 3 weeks, but the longest tour I think was just before Script Down. So it was Thanksgiving, October, beginning of October till
January. It was just recent.
Yeah. Oh, that was the worst. That was the worst. Yeah. That was the worst.
Money. So we say yeah, because we love money, but like,
Well, it's because of that whole COVID shutdown, right? This is like the first year that I've been able to work without having anything canceled. So I'm just like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to take every gig. I'm taking every gig.
Amen. Well, COVID shocked us.
Like, yeah, it really did.
The online
lost 3 years of our lives.
3 years of our lives and our money.
Yeah. Speaking of money, I kind of wanted to circle back to things being so inflated and expensive. I don't know what it's like in the U.S. right now, but it's almost impossible to live off of the two household income right now. No. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand how so many people are still like making it work, to be honest. It just feels like insane to me. And then also going back to our own industry, if we can recognize inflation for all of these other areas of our lives, why have we not inflated races?
I already knew what you were going to say. Like, why?
Like, why are we still a majority of like, workshops for 45 or like, I'm doing a performance for $50. Like, why are we still doing 2009 pricing? It's 2024. Like, there's inflation. We got to keep up with the cost of living, you know, but I really don't know how a lot of people are doing it. Like, my partner and I are both gig workers and it's been like, we're getting by, but the unpredictability has skyrocketed, I think, post COVID because of inflation. Like, exactly like you were saying, like, is anything going to go? Are we even still going to be making this money? Like, and everybody's racing to the bottom right now to undercut each other because we're all just trying to make any type of money. Hence my soapbox. But like, I really don't know how people are doing it. And I'm really angry at like the global governments of not recognizing that they are actively, especially in the US, but we are actively putting the people that you guys are all supposed to represent in harm's way for like a select few who just like who you can't make $1 billion. Like who can work so much that they're making $1 billion? You know, like it doesn't make sense to me. So the politician and political activist in me is like, this is why local government matters. This is why voting matters. And this is why staying involved in your government systems matter, especially if you live in a country that pretends to be a democracy like America. Like, it matters because they're clearly not listening, but there are way more of us than there are of them. And so I don't know how you're surviving, just whoever's listening. I hope it's stable and that you're safe and that you're chill. And if you're not, then I hope you have a good support system. But I don't know how you're doing it because we're like, I'm banking a lot on this tour, to be honest. Like a lot of my year end is coming from this, or at least I'm hoping it's coming from this. And if it's not as successful as I'm hoping it will be, then I really don't know what my life looks like. Isn't that fun? I love unpredictability.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. I mean, our government's pretty much perpetuating poverty.
Yes. And for what purpose? Criminalizing all the things that happen when there is poverty, like houselessness or an increase in crimes. Oh, crimes, you know, survival. What a crazy thing. What a crazy crime. Like it just, it doesn't make sense to my brain. But again, I don't look at money as this thing that I need. I just look at it as a tool to help me get the life that I'm trying to get. And I feel like people who associate money with power have lost the purpose of life to begin with and just think that control is like the only thing that happens. But you can literally get hit by a car. Like control doesn't, it's not real. So like, you could walk outside and get struck by lightning at any point or have an allergy attack that you didn't even know about. As a side note, that happened to me. It's terrifying. Please get an EpiPen everywhere. But like anything could happen and you're focused on controlling other people. Like for what purpose? To what end? For all the money you can't take with you? Like, doesn't make sense. So glad that we're all like the cost, no big deal. Just humanity itself. Casual. I don't know how they're surviving. Hopefully well. Just to like dive bomb the conversation into a negative aspect. Let's bring it up.
Well, it's the life that we're all living today. Like, I'm still shocked that even like our dances are still $20. Like, what?
Yes. that you charge differently. They're like, the entire dance network in this environment needs to approve an increase in rates. And if you're found to be increasing your rates above the $20 standard, you'll be fired. What? What?
Where did you hear that? Where was that?
Here in Tucson.
Oh.
Like, what the fuck?
Where they think we're stealing from them or something.
Right? Like, make it make sense. I don't understand. What?
Oh, man.
I can't even use my own rates now. There's another club here that's like, you're not allowed to wear boots because the manager doesn't like them.
What?
Okay. The manager.
Because I'm here for you. Just you.
He's the one paying my bills, obviously, by just allowing me to exist in this space without his own sexual harassment, probably.
Yeah. Oh,
so the least we could do, Onyx, is just not wear boots.
I had a good question. I didn't even bring a pen and I should have brought a pen so I could like write down my thoughts as we were talking. And like every time I go to like, it's gone. I'm like, dang it. So let's talk about any sage words. If you have any last thoughts you want to give to our listeners and viewers out there.
I guess the biggest thing is that like, oh, I don't know. There's so many different, like how deep do we want to get with these sage words of wisdom? Are we thinking like anime deep, or are we thinking like soulful deep, or are we just like hot tea deep? Like, I
you know, you got to give us whatever is feeling. Like, what's the first?
Like, to just sum up all the things that I'm hoping you take away from all these questions is like, you're worth value just by existing. Mm-hmm. And like other people don't get to tell you whether or not what you do is valuable. Only you get to decide that. And then you're also in charge of the audience that you're putting yourself in front of. So make sure that that audience respects you enough to pay you what you're worth just by being a pole dancer. Even if you can't do any advanced tricks, if you're barely walking around the pole, that's okay. That's what most of us do in a club. And that's still worth a minimum of $250 just for you to show up. Time is not real, and neither is gender, and neither is sensuality. It's all just eroticism, and it's all just a normal aspect of human existence that you should not be afraid of, but that you should welcome and try all the different flavors. As a side note, like, can we talk about all the different ways that you can, like, fuck and get fucked and then be fucked? Like, there's so many, like, I can fuck myself. I can fuck you. We can fuck each other with someone watching, like a whole orgy situation. Like, we can just do teasing shit. Like, it doesn't make sense to limit your own personal capabilities of accessing the feelings that arise from different situations that are technically sexual. Like, don't let anybody put you in a box. You can be whatever you want as long as you're getting consent and not harming anybody. Like, you're good to go. It's same with pull. If you're not hurting yourself, it's a stylistic choice. Thank you. So yeah, I guess those are my sage words. And if you want really, really deep ones, I need you to look really deep in terms of what you think you believe and then how your actions show up, and then talking to yourself when your actions don't match your beliefs, so that you can become a better person, so that we can become a better community, and so that we all can move forward together out of these systems of oppression that make living in a two-bedroom with two income sources difficult.
Oh man, it was so good chatting with you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, do you have any sage words of wisdom, our host?
What do I have to say? Definitely travel with cold effects. So sick. Don't work yourself from both ends like I do, unless you've got like a game plan to recharge. Make sure you've got ample amount of time to have some self-care. Self-care is so important because we just drain ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why I don't like people. I mean, I like people, but I mean like...
Not people, but not when I'm resting. Go away.
Yeah. Like,
I don't have
any for you. Yeah. I think those would be my sage words as of now, because I'm living in the moment. So
I'm here
for it. We'll go with that. We'll go with that.
Love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll wrap this up. Do you have any handles that people can follow you at, links that we need to know about, where we can find you?
Yes. I'm lucky enough to have snagged at Jordan Kensley across the board of all social media platforms, and or Jordan.Kensley, sometimes both. And if you're hoping to book me for workshops or performances or judging things, et cetera, et cetera, please contact my manager, Alanis@AlanisBolinManagement.com. And if you're like, how the fuck do I spell that? You can find it on my Instagram link and just go straight to her. As we have figured out together, I have ADHD and cannot be trusted to communicate quickly. If you're hoping for a fast response, it's not going to come from me. It's going to come from Alanis. But otherwise, it's at Jordan Kensley. It's also at Jordan Kensley for Venmo and $ Jordan Kensley for Cash App, just in case you are curious. And if you want to pay with a credit card, I can just send you a credit card link. Thank you so much. but yeah, I think those are all the things.
Oh, okay. Amazing. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. It was so great chatting with you. Thanks for everyone listening to Yes, a Stripper Podcast. You can find this episode on yesastripperpodcast.com, on Spotify, Twitter, YouTube. Don't forget to check out our merch store. I think we've got a whole bunch of things happening right now, so I'll make sure those links are set up for everyone to find. In the meantime, Stripper Queen North Onyx signing off and going to bed.
Thank you for absorbing this episode of Yes, a Stripper Podcast. We love your listening. Yes, a Stripper Podcast is produced by Period Podcast Network. Please like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast, and please consider donating to help keep this podcast alive. Send your love to paypal.me/yesastripperpodcast.